Oil prices surge after a weekend drone attack on two Saudi Arabian oil facilities. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The price of crude spiked as much as 20% this morning to above $71 a barrel. It's now up about 9% to around $65. It's the highest price in nearly 4 months and comes after a drone attack on a vital crude processing plant in Saudi Arabia wiped out more than 5% of global supplies. So what does all of this mean for the long-term global oil supply? Harry Chilingarian is head of commodity research at BNP Paribas.
The key issue really is to estimate the amount of damage that has been made to Abqaiq, which is the processing facility that was attacked. We are waiting for a status report from Saudi Aramco. On Sunday, they indicated that they would provide one within 48 hours, and that is still pending. However, Saudi Arabia has a lot of oil stocks, and it could continue to use them in order to meet its commitments to its customers. There are various reports out there saying that a third of production could be reinstated relatively quickly. Let's see if that's true. And then, of course, you have the International Energy Agency that could coordinate a strategic stock release, and that could act as a stopgap until Saudi resumes operations.
And President Trump last night tweeted he's authorized supplies from America's Strategic Petroleum Reserve to be released if necessary. Just talk to us a little bit about what is this reserve of supply.
The U.S. itself holds 645 million barrels of crude oil in its strategic petroleum reserve. So there is a lot of oil held in government-controlled storage that could be released onto the market should Saudi prove to take more time in reinstating its production.
How high is the risk of further escalation?
At the current juncture, it remains to be seen whether the Houthi-backed rebels that are currently identified as the perpetrators of these attacks have the means at their disposal to organize an attack of the nature we saw on Saturday. So we wouldn't discount a resumption of attacks by Houthi rebels backed by Iran. The question is whether they have the means to conduct such wide-scale attacks again in the future.
So crude oil prices have spiked this morning in reaction to all of this. Is there a point at which this could potentially hit consumers at the gas pump?
When you look at these price levels compared to the highs we reached earlier in the year, they're still relatively subdued. Inasmuch as a higher crude price will eventually translate into a higher gasoline price, which is important for U.S. consumers, the current level of oil prices yet to be so high that it could be damaging for the economy.
Harry Chilingarian there. Let's do the numbers. As oil prices hold some of their gains, stocks in Europe are falling and the price of gold is rallying 0.7% as investors look for safe havens. In China, data showed a worsening slowdown in the factory and consumer sectors. Industrial production grew at its slowest pace in 17 and a half years amid the ongoing U.S. trade spat. In the U.S., Purdue Pharma filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection late last night. The drug maker, closely identified with the opioid epidemic, is accused of aggressively marketing opioids and misleading doctors. As college students head back to class, internships might be top of mind for some already thinking about future job prospects. Traditionally, interns had to show up at the office to gain experience, but these days, technology has given rise to the virtual internship, as the BBC's Deborah Weitzman reports.
We would like you to prepare 3 slides as part of our proposals.
This is one of the assignments given to interns at the law firm Linklaters. But unlike traditional work experience, the task you just heard is part of a virtual reality platform, and one that is more likely to be carried out in pyjamas than in a suit. Linklaters launched its digital internship scheme over the summer, and already thousands of students have signed up.
You have videos of partners that work at Linklaters who give you the task, give you your deadline. You see the partner sat behind a desk, so it does feel as if you are literally sat in front of them.
That's Jessica Fitzpatrick, a third-year university student and digital intern.
Having it on your mobile or your laptop means that you can do it anywhere without putting yourself in a high-pressured situation where maybe people are going to be giving you feedback and watching you to see how you progress.
I'm currently sitting in Linklaters offices with Alison Wilson. She's a graduate recruitment partner at the firm.
What we're trying to do is have a new kind of precursor tool that gives somebody the inspiration to think, yes, I could do that job.
All assignments will be sent via email. Group work will be done on WhatsApp.
Josephine Adetti from Kenya interned for an online magazine located thousands of miles away in Dubai. But after 7 months of working from home, she felt burdened by technology overload.
Much of the internship required that we push ourselves to complete assignments, as no one would punish us. If you are an extrovert, physical internships will do you more good.
For 25-year-old Fern Boket, online opportunities are a saving grace. Her life-threatening asthma meant she had to leave London, and she now lives in the countryside, where jobs for young people are scarce.
When I'm in my office space, I'm breathing in the fresh air, and I know that I'm not in danger when I walk out of the door. But to be able to be part of an online community and to say that I've done something decent with my life is incredible.
Remote and flexible working is becoming more and more popular for businesses around the world. Virtual internships could therefore help to prepare a future generation of workers for a career that may well be out of office. But for many interns, face-to-face interaction with an employer, even if that means doing their photocopying or fetching coffee, could still be the key to unlocking that dream job.
The BBC's Deborah Weitzman there. Finally, the last county in England to not have a McDonald's looks set to lose its exclusive status. The Golden Arches has submitted a planning application for a drive-through on the outskirts of Rutland in the middle of England. There is resistance to the idea, though. More than 50 locals have already objected. Me? I'm always open for a box of those famous fries. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.